And good morning, church. Thanks for being here and sharing this time together. I think the last time I had the opportunity to be on stage and be a part of the service, I was given the text on Melchizedek, which is an entire chapter. And for whatever reason, they limited me to four verses today. So here we go. I'm going to talk to you about a passage of scripture that has really been influential in my life. Over the years, it has helped me to reflect and evaluate and be intentional about my spiritual journey as a follower of Jesus. And my deep hope is that it will do the same for you. I want to motivate those who are running the race of faith to keep going. And I want to encourage those who have quit running or have kind of taken a break on the side somewhere to get back in the race. And I want to inspire those who are hesitant about running to join the team, to begin trusting God with the race he has for them. See, running is a great metaphor for living the Christian life, because running is hard, and it can be fun. It involves sacrifice and reward. It requires training and discipline. Races include failure and success. But the only way to actually run a race, the only way to actually win a race is to finish the race. In this passage, we're going to be given four, I think, real simple but critical strategies for running the race of faith well. I want to begin with verse 1. And it says in Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which easily entangles us or clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This passage begins with that fun word, therefore. A word that requires us to back up and understand the context of what this passage is all about. And in my Bible, if I flip back to the chapter before, I get into Hebrews 11, my title says, Great Examples of Faith. And in this chapter, it lists 16 people by name who ran the race of faith well. And it's important for us to know that in this race of faith, it's something that everyone who follows Jesus is a part of. I want you to make sure that when you, to go back and read chapter 11 and get your mind around some of these people and their journeys, their brief descriptions of their races that they ran, because it will help you connect with some of their unique struggles as well. But the first strategy I want to put before us as we run the race of faith is that we need to run in light shoes. Look again at verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. One of the greatest problems I think runners will tell you when it comes to running a race is weight. I read a story of a 100-meter gold medal winner who came to our country for an invitational track meet. He was at one time considered the world's fastest man. But when he ran his preliminary heat, he didn't even qualify. And in the interview afterward, he said the reason was simple. He was overweight. He had trained too little and eaten too much. Now, this guy wasn't incredibly overweight, but just enough to keep him from winning. In fact, enough to even keep him from qualifying. He was running in heavy shoes. You know, that's the spiritual reality of our text today. The writer gives us two different kinds of hindrances, heavy shoes that impede our running. The first is excess weight. He just says, lay aside every weight. This excess weight, these things are things that are not sinful in themselves. But the question is, are they helping you run better? It may be something like getting stuck and doom scrolling through your social media, or preoccupied with Netflix and television shows. Too much emphasis going to sports or careers. Again, these things aren't sin, but they can become weights that impede our running. It's so easy to spend time on things that distract us from what's best, instead of asking ourselves if this is something that's allowed for the follower of Jesus. We need to be asking ourselves, is this something that helps us run better? The other issue of weight that he brings up here is this issue of sin. We don't have to work hard to become entangled by sin. And if we do nothing to fight it, it will find its way to cling to us and cling tightly. Look at how David's life was derailed by the sin that gripped his soul. In Psalm 32, in verse 1, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long, day and night. Your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the heat of summer. That's what unconfessed sin does to our souls, to our bodies. It makes us weak. It fatigues us spiritually and physically. But I'm encouraged by what David did in verse 5. He stripped off the sin that was clinging to him through confession. Look what he says. Finally, at the end of it all, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. This is a psalm written after coming out of that season of hiding the sin around his time with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband and all the things that got piled on top of that. It was destroying him. In order to run the race of faith well, we need to run in light shoes. We have to be proactive about casting off sin. Like David, we need to own it, we need to repent of it, and we need to turn from it to a new pathway of obedience. I want to ask you a question. Is there any sin that you're not repenting of? Any sin that you're holding close, perhaps hiding from other people, perhaps enjoying, not wanting to give up. Any sin you need to get rid of, confess it to God, deal with it, and get back in the race. This stuff will ruin your run. It will ruin your race. The next strategy we see for running this race well is to run for the long distance. Look at chapter 12, verse 1 again. And let us run with endurance, he says, the race that is set before us. This word endurance means to run with a steady determination, to keep going, choosing to persevere, to continue. To not stop when everything in you says, I want to give up. Makes me think of a time when my oldest daughter was about to turn 26. She picked up the phone and gave me a call and said, hey, Dad, I was thinking, for my birthday, would you come to Nashville and run a marathon with me? that's not a hard yes. That's an easy no, right? But it's her 26th birthday, and it was happening on her birthday. 26, when you turn 26. Sure, I said, and immediately began to get in shape. What I found to be quite helpful after all that running and preparing was on race day. It seemed like strategically placed about every 3 miles, there was a water station. I love water stations. They give you a chance to slow down just a bit, right? Grab a cup of water, hydrate your body with some electrolytes, maybe slow your pace just a little and let your heart rate come down, find your breath, and then you can go for another 3 miles. I mean, 3 miles is doable, right? For many of us, it's doable. I don't even consider myself a runner. But this was a lifesaver. I don't know who came up with this idea. But I'm thinking it's a lot like this race of faith. We have to run it like a marathon, not a sprint. We have to persevere in the race and run it for the long distance with a steady determination, finding ways to kind of get rehydrated and recalibrated and back in the race. Jesus tells us how to run for the long haul. In John 15, a passage with the disciples in the upper room, that Last Supper, he says to them, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Jesus tells us, if we abide, then we will abound. Remain in me. I will remain in you. And you will be effective and productive. You will endure. Guys, that's why spending regular time in silence and solitude with Jesus is vital to you being able to run the race of faith. That's why we encourage you to get in some kind of group for discipleship purposes. It's essential for you to get recalibrated so that you can run your race. That's why we gather like we are right now in community worship. It's because these are the places where we abide together, where we learn to remain, where we're monitoring our spiritual heart rate and getting our souls hydrated with the truth of his word. The fellowship of other believers. So I ask you a question here as well. Are you running with a steady determination? How are you enduring and persevering? When everything in you wants to give up, what are you doing to stay in the race? Guys, this race is not an easy race. I think that's why maybe in the third strategy, he tells us to run the race that's right in front of us. You want to run the race well? Run the race in front of you. Look at verse 1 again. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Like I said, I'm not a runner, but I do a little bit of it. And I have a course I run that has a little bit of everything. Some flat stretches, some uphill climbs, some gentle downhill slopes, some shady spots, and some windy spots. I plotted it out this way because I knew that running it would help me build my endurance and my stamina. The phrase "run the race set before us" describes a race that has been predetermined, a race that has been marked out by God just for you to run. You see, by God's sovereign design, everyone's race is unique. My race is unique to me. Your race is unique to you. I want you to look at this picture on the screen. I want you to tell me what you see. Well, don't tell me, but think about it. Notice it. Is there anything you wonder? As we've been talking about races, anything that stands out to you? I see a man that's running a race that's in front of him. It looks like a sunny day. It's maybe a little uphill. But it's cool enough that he's got a jacket on and warm enough that he's running in shorts. Running is enjoyable when the sun's out and the temperatures are in the low 60s and the trail is level and smooth. But that's only part of running the race of faith. Every race of faith has its stretches of long uphill treks that include trials and hardship. It has its twists and turns that involve grief and pain. Dark patches of loneliness and hurt and sorrow. That's when running the race of faith is hardest. And that's when you need to trust that God knew what he was doing when he marked out your race. That's the point of Hebrews 11. These great examples of faith mentioned there are heroes because they ran their own unique race faithfully. They didn't run it perfectly. Go read their stories. They were all tripped up by sin. They all struggled with perseverance. They had their doubts, but they ran their race to the end. They ran faithfully. You can look back and read about Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses' parents, and Moses himself. I love if you keep going through the text, you get down towards the bottom, and in verse 36, you read about all the others. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom this world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And those are some hard races. But the common thread that ties these runners together is that they all had a predetermined course marked out by God for them to run. And with God's help, they completed their race of faith. God has a predetermined race for you. It has its peaks, its valleys, its twists, its turns, sunny days and stormy days. I can't run your race. No one can. Only you can. You can't run my race or anyone else's. I want to ask you a question here as well. Do you trust that God really knows what he's doing when it comes to your race? Do you believe that he has it in control? That he's using it for the purpose of transforming you into the man or woman he wants you to be? The final strategy we're given is to run with a clear focus. Look at verses 2 through 4. He begins looking to Jesus. Another translation I read says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. I think because these races can be hard, the writer ends with this strategy. Run with a clear focus. What we focus on is extremely important. I remember when my kids were little, teaching them how to ride bikes. I first got to experiment with my boys who were close in age. We took them out and put them in the street on their bike, and my consistent instruction was, see that sign at the end of the road? Don't take your eyes off it. I'm going to give you a push. Just keep pedaling and keep looking. Keep your focus on the sign. Off we go. Their constant distraction, the pedals. They get on that bike, helmet strapped on. I think Sherry even had them in elbow pads and knee pads. Protection is everything. And they would pedal and pedal and pedal and pedal, and they would take their eyes off that sign and look at their feet. And they would just get them going faster, and they thought it was the coolest thing, but the balance would begin to sway, and they would look up as if to say, look at me! And I remember one of the boys just right into the stop sign or the mailbox. Crash. I can't remember if the flag fell down or whatever, but it was a bang. Luckily, the helmet was on because he went right over, right? You need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus if you want to avoid slamming into mailboxes. Jesus is not just another one of the great examples of faith. He's the founder and perfecter of our faith. Paul even says in Philippians 1, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Our God who started this work of faith will see it through to the end. Keep your eyes fixed on him. He's the one who carved the path on which we run so that we can follow in his footsteps. He has entered us in this race by his grace and will sustain us by that same grace until we finish. Notice how he ran. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He ran with the joy of the race God had set before him. Races are hard, if we're really honest. But a hard race doesn't mean we can't have joy. I think that's another point woven into this text. For the joy set before him. I think the race of faith is often combining pain and joy together. And in the midst of very deep struggle and suffering, we find that joy. I know too many people whose races have gotten very hard, who have said as they've gone through it, I wouldn't trade it for all the joy that I got out of it, for all the things God taught me through it. At the same time, they would not wish it for you or me. But joy can be part of this race. Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. He created it within us, and he's able to see us through the race to the completion, to the finish line. He modeled it as he ran his unique race. He gave us something to emulate. If we run with Jesus, with a clear focus on him, we can run through anything the race has to offer. In the Olympic Games, during the time of the Hebrews, runners competed for a crown of garland. It was a crown that acknowledged their victory. But it was a crown that wouldn't last. You and I, we run in a different kind of race for a different kind of crown. We don't run to finish first. Paul tells us to run as if to win, but the goal is not to win. I can't win the race. There's so many that have run it before me. But I can finish the race. Our prize is not awarded because we finish first. It's awarded because we finish, period. So in closing, let me ask you another question. What race are you running? The one God marked out for you? Or the one you've kind of marked out for yourself, complete with goals to achieve and measures of success? Is that the right race? It might be. It might be. But I want you to ask yourself honestly, am I running the race God has marked out for me, or am I running my own race? Have I fallen down? Get back up. Am I hesitant to even get in the race? Oh, my prayer today is that you would start running the race God has for you. I love how the Message translation reads in these verses 2 and 3 of Hebrews 12. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Let's run well, friends. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've packed into our passage today, full of some simple yet strategic ways to run the race well. Father, I pray for those who are not in this race, that they would start today running with you. I'm going to invite you to be the one who brings faith and perfects it in them, their Savior, their Lord. Begin running the race you've marked out. Lord, I pray for those who've stumbled along the way. They would get up, shake off the weight and the sin that has been clinging to them, confess, begin running again today with you. And finally, Lord, I pray for those in the race, running. I don't know what leg they're in. Is it a hard one? Is it an easy one? Is it filled with sorrow or joy? Is it giving them wind in their sails, or is it leaving them feeling lost and alone? Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come alongside them, that their focus would look to Jesus, and their souls would be filled with adrenaline to keep running. Not by strength of their own, but by faith. following your example. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm going to invite you to stand as we close the service. And if you would like to pray with one of our prayer team members, they're going to come to the front during this last song. Come up and let them pray for you. Let them bless you with the strength to run your race.